Sun's Week in All. Listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners, and happy Friday. This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the March 25th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. It's a big day in African men's football. There are first leg World Cup qualifying playoff matches scheduled in Egypt, Ghana, Mali, the Democratic Republic of Congo, and Cameroon. The indomitable Lions of Cameroon will host the Desert Foxes of Algeria in one of the fixtures. For some insights into the encounter, Iron Mike Mbonye contacted African football analyst Lekan Ige.
The World Cup playoff between the Indomitable Lions of Cameroon and Desert Foxes of Algeria will be one that will be fought with some reasonable level of vehemence. Remember that the last Nations Cup, Algeria just couldn't progress beyond the group stage, while Cameroon went all the way to the semifinals before losing to Egypt. So it's going to be a match of very high importance between the two teams. Algeria will be desperate to make amends and qualify for World Cup. Cameroon want to go a notch higher by satisfying their fans back home that although they didn't win the Nations Cup on home soil, they can as well make amends by qualifying for the World Cup in Qatar. So it's going to be a very big one, huge rivalry really between Algeria and Cameroon over the years, and this will really, really, really go down the wire. Any of the two teams, in my own opinion, can qualify in this encounter, but whichever team that does well in the first leg might just make the second leg even tougher for the opponent to overcome.
The Desert Foxes of Algeria could not defend the AFCON title, while the Indomitable Lions of Cameroon did not win it as hosts. What makes this game very interesting?
The fact that Algeria couldn't defend the Nations Cup it won about 3 years ago, and the fact that Cameroon couldn't host and win makes this encounter even more mouth-watering. It's going to be a big one of huge significance, you know, to the rating of both countries. This is a battle between two countries that have won the Nations Cup before. So the bragging rights really will be here. Who gets one over the other in qualifying for the World Cup in Qatar? That is the biggest stage in world football. And I'm sure both countries will be looking forward to representing the continent of Africa in Qatar. Unfortunately, one team has to qualify, and that is a difficult scenario here. Which team qualifies for the World Cup? On paper, I might just be tipping the Indomitable Lions of Cameroon to get one over Algeria, judging from their last performance and the Nations Cup. But like football pundits will always say, you're as good as your last match, meaning a lot is at stake here, and Algeria might want to throw everything that they have into this encounter to be able to qualify for the World Cup and assuage their fans who were really bitter that Algeria couldn't defend the Nations Cup it won 3 years ago.
Leko, looking at the crystal ball, which team do you think will get the Qatar 2022 World Cup ticket?
Like I said earlier, it will be difficult to predict who qualifies between Algeria and the Indomitable Lions of Cameroon. It's a very tight encounter, I must say. But if you look at the performance of Cameroon in the Nations Cup, the way and manner they scored goals until they lost to Egypt in the semifinals via penalties, you might want to give this to the Cameroonians in terms of the ability to score. Cameroon have always had some kind of a mixed fortune when playing against their North African brother. So it's a tough one, really. I'm sure this will be difficult to call for a lot of football pundits within and outside of the continent of Africa. But just like I said earlier, I might just want to tip Cameroon, you know, to get one over Algeria and qualify to represent Africa. Cameroon holds one of the best records for Africa in the World Cup, and they might want to go a notch higher this time around. A large crop of young players who want to establish themselves, not just in the continent, but across the world.
That's African football analyst Lekan Ige. And he spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Port Harcourt, Nigeria. With 10 African football teams in action Friday in World Cup qualifying matches, UEFA President Alexander Seferin says plans to hold a biennial World Cup will soon be off the table. VOA's Gwen Uten has details. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. FIFA President Gianni Infantino has made a strong case in favor of a more frequently held World Cup tournament since he proposed that the event take place every 2 years, starting in 2024. He's outlined that doubling the number of tournaments will add over $4 billion in extra revenue for FIFA. And he argued that the new format would not only improve the international calendar, but also appeal to a younger generation that wants the World Cup tournament held more often. Late last year, the 52 members that make up the Confederation of African Football voted unanimously in support of the proposal to stage the World Cup every 2 years. And while Infantino insisted that he has the backing to make the change, he's faced opposition from confederations in Europe and South America that have come out against changes to the tournament's current four-year cycle. UEFA, the governing body of European football, has said the new schedule would create an imbalance between local, domestic, and international competitions. And the South American Football Confederation, CONMEBOL, said it would not take part if the tournament is held every 2 years. As talks continue on the fate of soccer's international calendar, UEFA President Alexander Seferin recently spoke at the Financial Times Business of Football Summit, where he expressed his confidence that plans to hold a biennial World Cup are now off the table. And he adds FIFA has come to that same conclusion following his discussion with Gianni Infantino.
Biennial World Cup is a no-go for everyone in football, and I'm glad that now FIFA realized it as well. We are still discussing. I had a discussion with the FIFA president yesterday about it, and we absolutely admit and we cannot say that football on other continents cannot be developed, but it should be, we should be aligned, and it shouldn't hurt European federations or South American federations. And we have discussions. As much as I heard, and I'm sure that biennial World Cup is off the table, but we are discussing. We want to help. We want to say we cannot say European football is European football and we don't allow anything else. That was never our approach, and it will not be in the future as well. So we are discussing. I don't think it's correct that I say more now because there are still only discussions. But I'm sure we will come to a solution very soon also with FIFA.
Seferin's comments came just weeks before the FIFA Congress convene in Doha next Thursday. In a written statement, a FIFA spokesperson told Reuters the global governing body plans to continue its discussion on ways to improve the game globally and is, quote, engaging and debating on a solution for everyone. This year's World Cup is set to make history as the first tournament to be held at the end of the calendar year in November and December, and the first World Cup tournament ever to be held in the Middle East. And in 4 years, the number of finalists will increase from 32 to 48 when Canada, Mexico, and the United States host the first ever expanded World Cup tournament in 2026. And that is all from me, Sonny. Back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. The U.S. men's national soccer team is on the brink of qualifying for the 2022 World Cup after a hard-fought, scoreless draw against host Mexico on Thursday night. With the result, the USA remains in second place in its CONCACAF qualifying group with two matches left to play. The top three teams will book a ticket to Qatar in November, while the fourth place finisher will compete in a two-game intercontinental playoff for a World Cup berth. Meanwhile, four-time World Cup champion Italy will miss football's premier event for a second straight time after a surprising 1-0 home loss to North Macedonia on Thursday. In stoppage time, North Macedonia's Alexander Treshkovsky scored from outside the penalty area. North Macedonia, which gained independence in 1991, will play Cristiano Ronaldo in Portugal next week with a chance to qualify for the World Cup for the first time. North Macedonia, one of the surprise packages in World Cup qualifying.
This is the voice of America. Washington, D.C.
Samson Omale joins us now with a spicy package of African World Cup qualifying news. Sporty Friday greetings, Samson.
Sporty Friday greeting to you, Sonny. We begin with the most anticipated football weekend on the African continent. It's the weekend of the playoffs for the 2022 World Cup in Qatar, and 10 teams will be battling for the 5 spots up for grabs. The third round of CAF matches for the 2022 FIFA World Cup qualification will be played from Friday the 25th of March to Tuesday the 29th of March 2022. In the first leg ties scheduled for today, it will be the Pharaohs of Egypt who will play host to the African champions, the Teranga Lions of Senegal, at the Cairo International Stadium in Cairo. Egyptian coach Carlos Queiroz says the Senegalese have everything to lose in the match.
We don't have nothing to lose. They have everything to lose because they are the champions. They are the team that in the modern game, they qualified, they have those results in the World Cup. We just challenge them. We are the ones that we have everything to win here. If they don't succeed, they lose prestige, they lose reputation. They know they have something to lose. So that's why our boys, they are ready to enjoy this challenge.
2021 African host Cameroon will be at home at the Djapouma Stadium in Douala, where the indomitable Lions will welcome the Desert Foxes of Algeria. Man City and Algerian star Riyad Mahrez says they've put their disastrous outing at the last African Cup of Nations behind them and are ready to take on the indomitable Lions of Cameroon.
What happened in the African Cup is the past for us. We have to take it on board, obviously. We have to live with it and take the positive or negative things to improve, yeah? But at the same time, we are now, it's a completely different game. Is for the World Cup to qualify. The games that Cameroon and Algeria played in the past, we really don't, I'm not gonna say don't care, but we didn't look we are in 2022 now. The best team will win. We come here with our quality and our strength as a team, as a country, as everything, to do a good performance.
In Ghana, the Baba Yara Stadium in Kumasi will host the West African Derby between the Black Stars of Ghana and the Super Eagles of Nigeria. Super Eagles captain Ahmed Musa.
My mission here is to qualify to World Cup, and so I know that with the quality of boys that we have in the team, we can do that. Yeah, for me as a player, going to the World Cup is one of the best tournaments that every player want to play. So it's not only for me. We have a young boys that didn't participate in the World Cup in Russia or Brazil. So this is another good opportunity for us, so not for only me.
For their part, Blasters coach Otto Addo and standing captain Thomas Partey believes they can secure victory against their West African neighbor.
The players are ready. They're in good shape. We had some, I'm sorry to say, and I was sorry for the people, but we had to make some secret tactical training. But players adapted well, did well, and I hope that we can show what we trained on the pitch tomorrow.
Well, I think we all know what we have. We have a lot of big talents, young players coming up, and I know Ghanaians demand a lot from us. We're going out tomorrow. We're going to give our best. We know we believe in each other. I believe in the team. I believe in the coach, the system we want to play, and I think we are ready for them.
In Kinshasa, it will be the DR Congo versus Morocco, while Mali will welcome Tunisia to the Stade 26 Mars in Bamako for their crunch tie. Tunisian forward Hagai Karim says even though they do not boast of many stars, they are very confident of victory against the Malians.
We have good players. We have a team together. We don't have the superstars. We don't have a big talent like other nations, but we have a team, and we are good when we are solid together. We have to play against Mali good like a team. I'm not really worried about the team.
To preview the World Cup playoffs in detail, I spoke to football historian Jerry Udo and sports journalist Deji Ogoyimbo as they share their thoughts on the playoffs fixtures for this weekend.
You look at the Algerians, and it's been not so rosy for them, especially since the AFCON. You can't really change the mood of a team immediately in the space of 2 months, but they've still got it in them for a team to go 35 games unbeaten. It shows you the stuff they are made of. So maybe some things happened in the team camp during the AFCON. They just were not able to nip it to the board. But I mean, the World Cup ticket is at stake at this point, and it's important and crucial for them to be able to get past the Cameroonians. But it's going to be difficult, the physicality of the Cameroonians. They score goals for fun.
Anybody that underrates Algeria does that at their own peril. That Algerian team we saw in Cameroon, we are fatigued. The Algerian team had several matches they had to play in the Arab Cup, which also affected their team. Yes, the Cameroonians themselves were not too fantastic in the Nations Cup. We saw it. To me, they had to ride on their home crowd to get to the level they got to. And that's not taking anything away from Cameroon. Cameroon knows the World Cup better than any African side because they've been there 7 times. They are the highest participant in Africa. They participated 7 times, Nigeria 6 times. So if any country understands the World Cup better, it is the Indomitable Lions of Cameroon. Ironically, the two teams played in their first World Cup in Espana 82, where Cameroon came out unbeaten in a group that had even the eventual champions, Italy. By and large, Samson, it's going to be a very tight one between Algeria and Cameroon.
Let's look at Mali against Tunisia.
I see Tunisia has been very fortunate in the Nations Cup. Both teams met in the Nations Cup, and Mali defeated them by a long goal from a penalty spot. It was one of the dullest games I saw in the competition. Both of them were not entertaining. They were drab. I mean, the game was just nothing to write home about.
Tactically, I think that's where the game will be won, and the Tunisians are way better with regards to that. That's where they'll probably drum the physicality of the Malians.
Unfortunately, both teams are not high-scoring side like we saw in the Nations Cup. The Malians themselves are full of ball jugglers, but they don't have the cutting edge up front.
Now, let's look at Ghana versus Nigeria.
I think for the Ghanaians, they seem the more business-like team. And I'm not saying this because I'll probably put them as favorites to go over Nigeria, but they just seem the team that can get the victory away from them, which is going to be very crucial in these two-legged ties.
Between both teams, they've won the Nations Cup 7 times, Ghana 4 times, Nigeria 3 times, but Ghana's last trophy arrived in 1982, which is over, I think, 40 years now. That means the Ghanaians have not really gotten it right in 40 years. The Ghanaians are arch rivals to Nigerians. Both teams are very formidable sides. They are very good, and it's going to be a very, very close one. The team that is hungrier should be able to win this particular one.
What about Egypt and Senegal? Is it a revenge match? And of course, one of these two stars, Sadio Mane, and of course, Mo Salah, may likely not go to the World Cup.
Well, I mean, that's the beauty of football. You get situations like this where the inevitable happens. We want to see both of them, but we just have to see one of them. In matches like this, the Egyptians have not held their head in high esteem over the years for the most successful team in Africa not to have qualified for the World Cup in ages. It speaks volume about how they fumble when it comes to two-legged playoffs like this. The last time it was against Ghana, where they were beating Black and Blue 6-1 in Kumasi. This time around against the Senegal side, that's arguably the best team in Africa.
It's a close one, Samson. I have to tell you, this one is a very, very close one to call. The Egyptian team I saw in the Nations Cup were just tactically balanced. They were not a fantastic side, but they had an experienced coach in Carlos Queiroz who knew what he wanted and went for it. Senegal were more hungrier because they never won the Nations Cup before, and we saw the way the Senegalese came out in that final. Luckily for them, they won via penalty. This is going to be another close one. Player to player, I will give the Senegalese an edge, because they have exposed players that are doing well in the leagues of Europe. But Egypt also have a well-knitted team that is built around Zamalek and Al Ahly, Africa's most successful club sides.
DR Congo versus Morocco.
Well, for the Moroccans, they boast one of the best arrays of stars on the continent in terms of your style of play, one of the best, too, similar to what we would find with an European team.
First black African to play in the World Cup was DR Congo, then Azaï in 1974. The Atlas Lions were there in 1970, the second side to qualify after Egypt, and they were also there in Mexico 86. I think Morocco has been there 5 times, but DR Congo, this will be their second if they qualify. Like I said, the North Africans are tactically astute. It's going to be a very, very close one.
It's back to you, Sonny.
Thanks, Samson. That's Samson Omale.
Hello, this is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
The Basketball Africa League is back. Voice of America joins forces with Africa's Premier Men's Basketball League to bring you the second season of the BAL. 38 games, 12 teams leaving it all on the court in Senegal, Egypt and Rwanda to determine the 2022 season champion. Tune in to VOA 24/7, FMs and to our radio and TV affiliates for some action. Pre-game, play-by-play, post-game, daily highlights, delivered by our finest commentators. Basketball Africa League 2022 on Voice of America. May the best team win.
Basketball Africa League 2022 resumes April 9th in Cairo, Egypt, where Nile Conference games will be played. Between March 5th and March 15th, the league held Sahara Conference games in Dakar, Senegal. Teams from Rwanda, Tunisia, Morocco, and Guinea advanced to the Basketball Africa League playoffs, which will be held between May 21st and May 28th at the Kigali Arena in Rwanda. Basketball Africa League president Amadou Gallo Fall tells VOA the Dakar phase met his expectations, especially in terms of partnership.
We announced partnership with the ISPT, which is the Senegal Tourism Promotion Board. Through Destination Senegal and Air Senegal, they've tremendously been supportive in terms of Air Senegal having helped get some of the teams here, and with Destination Senegal, they've been, really helping create fun experience for people visiting the country, like going to, sites like Gore Island, the African Renaissance Monument, or the Museum of Black Civilization, which I encourage people visiting the country to really go and see. And I think, obviously we're doing this here in Senegal for the first time. It's a great facility with Dakar Arena. That's a bit out of the city, but there's a brand new train that was launched over a month ago. So fans who've taken it, we didn't have really issues with traffic coming here. So lots of learning. So if we're doing this again, I think we are in a good position. But for now, things have been really, really good.
Basketball Africa League president Amadou Gallo Fall says Ball continues to look for new ways to make the league fan-friendly.
The Basketball Africa League is really meant to propose to offer a product, an entertainment product, that fans from all ages can enjoy, and also whether they're men or women, young or old, you know, there is going to be something in it for all. You go to the fan zone, you know, you have a half court there, and there's a lot of games that young people can play. You have a stage with DJ. Here in the arena also, you know, you see, you know, really the atmosphere there is fantastic, you know. And I think whether you have a rooting interest or not, you can come into Dakar Arena and have a great fan experience.
The Basketball Africa League held games in Dakar on March 8th, International Women's Day. Ball president Amadou Gallo Fall says the league is committed to gender equity as well as stopping gender-based violence.
By, you know, recognizing that, you know, the role that women play in society in general. And as we are building our team, you know, the headquarters for the Basketball Africa League is here. Directly as a league, we want to hire the best, you know, of the best in all positions, whether it's in, you know, marketing or PR or finance or legal, you know, so that we have those opportunities. We've been recruiting and we're very fortunate to attract, you know, some really good talent from across the board, many countries in Africa that are representing. So that level of diversity that we want in our league have to be reflected across gender. And then, you know, on the court, you see that we have, you know, women referees. Last year, we had two women referees for the first time refereeing a men's game in Africa. So we're going to continue to really promote that. One of the key pillars of our social justice initiative is effectively to promote opportunities for women and encourage young girls, and also to raise awareness and fight against gender-based violence. So I think just today, for example, the innovation summit that we hosted, the first BAL youth summit that we hosted today, listening to some of those girls there on the stage talk about their experience and their ambitions for Africa, that's what we want to continue to push. So March 8th was special, but the whole month of March is special. It's Women's Month, and we'll continue even beyond this tournament to really enact and run initiatives that speaks to the upliftment of women.
That's Amadou Gallo Fall, the president of the Basketball Africa League, and Amadou spoke with VOA in Dakar, Senegal.
Sporty greetings. This is Masai Ujiri, the president of Toronto Raptors Basketball, president of Giants of Africa Foundation. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Masai Ujiri's Toronto Raptors topped the visiting Cleveland Cavaliers Thursday night, 117-104. The Cameroonian Pascal Siakam matched his season high with 35 points for the Raptors, and Siakam's 6 three-pointers matched his career high. The defending champion Milwaukee Bucks and the Phoenix Suns, who met in the 2021 NBA Finals, also won their games on Thursday night. The AP's Dave Ferry reports.
The Suns have clinched the first overall seed in the NBA playoffs. Phoenix welcomed back Chris Paul before earning a 141-130 win over the Nuggets.
Special, man. It's 17 years for me. Only the second time I've ever been on a team that won 60 games. And, you know, we talk about celebrating everything. So it's a huge thing for the guys, for all of us.
Paul furnished 15 of his 17 points after halftime and finished with 13 assists in the Suns' seventh straight victory. It was his first game since missing 5 weeks with a broken thumb. Devin Booker had a season-high 49 points for the Suns.
60 wins is something I never even thought of, to be completely honest. But, you know, it's just the day-to-day grind. Like, we've been after it, you know, from the bubble on, just getting better. Not worrying about what's going on the outside and worrying about what we got in-house, and it's turned into something really nice.
The Nuggets got 28 points from Nikola Jokic.
The turnovers were really bad. We didn't execute in the end. It was a high-scoring game, and then the fourth quarter, we didn't score that much.
Jrue Holiday had 24 points and 10 assists to help the Bucks withstand a late comeback attempt and beat the Wizards 114-102. Grayson Allen added 21 points, and the Bucks never trailed despite playing without either of their two All-Stars.
It was really on the defensive end. It's a lot easier to score on offense when you're getting stops and running off of misses. I think they had 4 or 6 points, something like that, with 5 minutes to go, 4 minutes to go in the first quarter.
Chris Middleton missed a second straight game with a sore left wrist. Giannis Antetokounmpo was out for the second time in 3 games with a sore right knee. I'm Dave Ferry.
Thanks, Dave. That wraps up the March 25th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in and have a nice weekend. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.
I get it.